Welcome to the Market Mystics Podcast. I'm Joshua.
I'm Kim. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another amazing episode of the Market Mystics. Kim, you want to talk about what we have going on today?
I do. So we have a return guest who is going to start being a more regular part of the show. I don't know if we're calling it a segment or I don't know what.
Does that mean I have to come up with a special name too?
Yeah, I think so. And okay. It better be alliterative because that's what we like.
That's what Kim lives for that.
For a good alliteration. If you could make it a palindrome, that would really make me happy.
Now I got to go back to the definition and go, what'd she say again? No.
Palindrome, the same forwards and backwards.
Oh, yeah.
Like race car.
Gotcha.
Yes. So there's a challenge for you. So Craig, Dr. Farney, yes. You're back again.
I am.
And we're glad to have you.
I'm glad to be here and joining you guys.
Yeah.
We're excited. Because it's not one and the same, right? Being here and joining is two different things.
It's true.
So,
yeah, we're excited for it. If you haven't been around the podcast very long, Craig is not an unfamiliar face. I think this is number three or four.
I think it was four.
I think this is four.
Yeah. So you're a familiar voice already if you've been around the show for a little while. But if not, I think you'll get some amazing thoughts and nuggets from Craig. If you would, will you just like give a 1 minute rundown of who you are and what you do? And
so one of the things that we talk about here is ultimately our goal is to be healers. Okay. Mm-hmm. We are traditionally trained as doctors of chiropractic that then went into functional medicine, that then went into energy medicine. So I've had a bunch of relatives. I have a bunch of relatives. My brain's off a little bit today, and that's okay because we're going to talk about that. I have a bunch of relatives that were doctors and chiropractors, and so I kind of followed the pathway. And so it's just interesting where life has taken me in this journey of, as I said, traditional chiropractic to functional medicine to now energy medicine. It's just, we tend to separate the body into pieces, and that doesn't work. We're not a mind or a body or a spirit. We're all of those all at once. So that's who I am and what I'm about. Is the thing that I love talking to people about is I believe each of us have been given a unique gift. And what I hate seeing is that gift not being manifested. Because if it doesn't get manifested, then all of us are not as whole as we could be. We are not separate beings. We are one. In fact, I heard, I don't remember where I've heard it. I've heard so many things, so many places that the greatest illusion is the illusion of separation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my goal, is to help people realize who they are.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay, so Craig.
That was so impactful. We all just went silent.
I know. I know that you have some thoughts on things that you want to talk about. So where do you want to begin?
Well, if they've listened to anything that we've talked about before, I want to dive into the whole inner parent, inner child concept. I'm really working towards getting a workbook put together to help people dive into this concept. And I thought of something today, or maybe it was yesterday. This idea of helping your inner child mature. A lot of times when people do inner child work, it's dealing with traumas and all that type of stuff. What I really work at is I think we carry the feelings and the beliefs of the inner child through our adulthood. And it just kind of, it's kind of this sensation that sits in the pit of our gut that's kind of always there and never really goes away. And when things are really good, we're not as we don't notice it as much. When things are not good, then we really notice it. And it's how do we help that inner child mature so we can fully manifest the most mature, the most self-realized aspect of ourselves. So that's kind of where I'm diving in lately. So, and I'm sure we'll pick that apart as we continue talking. I mean, except for you guys, because you got it all figured out.
If they've listened to the show for any amount of time, they know we have almost nothing figured out.
They also know, if they've listened to me more than once, that I live with sarcasm. I am sarcasm, whatever the term is. I love to speak in sarcastic terms.
Is it your love language?
I don't know about that, but it just, it's funny because I think, looking back on some of the things I read in the Bible, that I think God and Jesus use sarcasm way more than we realize. But if we'd look at it from that perspective, I think there's a whole lot more of that in there than people realize.
Just my thought. Fun. Do you have an example?
Not right off the top of my head, but I could just see Jesus saying something like, in a very sarcastic tone of, okay, we're gonna have to think of something now. What would be something he said that could be considered sarcastic? I don't know. Just let that mull in the back of your brain and see if something.
Next time you're reading the scripture, just think of that tone.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, seek and you'll find it, right?
Right. Is that sarcastic or is that for real?
Yes.
Exactly. It's both.
It is both.
Yeah. So.
So in your, like, you know, we've talked a little bit about the inner child, inner parent stuff in previous episodes. Have you had like new revelations in that since we've talked? Like what's been going on in that, in your journey since the last time we talked?
So for me, what I discovered, it's weird because I can't tell you the day, but I can just kind of remember, I can remember the setting that it occurred. I was sitting in my office and I think the inner child is about this, that we come to believe things about ourselves, about others, and about God or the divine that we don't realize. And I just kind of had this epiphany of going, wow, as a child, this is what I thought, felt, and believed. And all of a sudden, I could see how it just connects through so many episodes of my life. And it connects to this underlying sensation that I have felt in the pit of my gut, which most people can relate to, that even when things are great, it's like, okay, I thought I'd feel better than this. When I get married, or, you know, I have my car, or this certain amount of money, then okay, this feeling's going to go away. And it, all those things are good, and that feeling's still there. And so I just got real honest with myself. And I think the problem is, I think most people, they spend a majority of their life trying to fight or resist or deny or to compensate or make up for that sensation. And in, I stopped fighting. I just said, I'm not fighting against this anymore. I'm just going to accept it, just sit in it, just be with it. And just, it's kind of like all of a sudden I had this realization of what I, just because I thought and felt and believed it doesn't make it so. Mm-hmm. And I think that was kind of a turning point for me to go, okay, I can still feel it to this day. It's just, it's not as intense anymore. It's not, I'm aware of where that comes into play in my emotions and in my actions. And because I'm able to be aware, I have the opportunity to go, okay, do I want to keep doing this or do I want to choose something else? And that's another important point in this too, is it's one thing to be aware of. It's another thing to choose a different pathway. Cause I think so many of us have spent our life trying to not be something. And all you end up doing is being that something. Mm-hmm. Because you don't really have anything else you're focused on. And the brain doesn't really understand the negative part. It doesn't understand that not. It just understands the thing you're focused on. And so by being aware of that and go, okay. So I'll just give you my example. I grew up basically thinking that I was poor. I thought that I can't have what I want. other people get to have what I would want, and God's the one in control, so God's the one dictating this. And so I'm left feeling like a victim myself, feeling jealous of others, and feeling angry towards God. And so it created this weird scenario. So within that, mine especially fit within the whole financial realm, because a lot of my interactions were financial based. And so I felt poor would be a word, or lacking, what would be another phrase that really kind of could summarize what I believed about myself. And so I've spent a lot of my life trying to not be poor and yet not believing I can have it. So I'm caught in this in-between place. Never really enough, never truly poor, just kind of getting by and consistently desiring or wanting to have wealth or have something that makes me not feel lacking or make me not feel poor. And so as I came to this awareness of going, okay, just because I felt poor or felt lacking doesn't make it so. Well, what do I want to be? What do I want to feel? I want to feel abundant. I want to feel wealthy. And that's not just money. That's health, and that's relationships, and that's knowledge and wisdom and all that type of stuff. So now I'm in this transition where I can still feel it. And there's times it's a little more intense, but there's just a different sensation in that I'm not the victim to that belief system anymore. I can see where it impacts me. And then I go, okay, how do I going forward not do that? So One of my funniest ones was I was playing golf and I got so irate, and I'm just going, the emotion that I'm experiencing does not fit this experience. So I can see how, okay, this ties back into my childhood belief system. So that's been my biggest epiphany lately.
So have you found a different feeling or sensation being able to now start sitting in that abundance? As opposed to constantly going back to that not enough.
Yeah. Yeah. What was really interesting is when I first had the epiphany, the next day, I didn't feel any of that sensation at all. I had probably the most complete day I've ever had from an emotional perspective. And then the next day I'm like, wait a minute, I'm sliding back into this old pathway. I could feel it, which to me now makes sense, because those belief systems are hardwired into your brain neurology, and they are encoded into your very cellular function, because your cells have lived in a certain state for years and decades. And most systems will turn cells over about anywhere from every year to every 7 years. So these cells have never known anything different.
Sure.
So they expect the same chemistry. The neurology is still connected to where if you activate a certain pathway, it hits this whole network of things that relate to the past. And so what I'm finding now is it's taking time to transition. And so it takes a lot of diligence and a lot of awareness, which is why I think most people don't do it, because it's easy to be what you've been. It doesn't take any effort. It's just habit. To change that habit takes time.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that the one day was the most free day I ever felt. There was none of that stuff in the pit of my gut. It was like, and I noticed what was weird is all of my interactions were different. They were more genuine. They were more authentic. I wasn't doing anything to try to make that old sensation go away.
So you're talking about like how some of the cells take, you know, up to 7 years to replace. Mm-hmm. So is part of the change this need to constantly remind yourself the new story until just one day it becomes part of the cell? Because, like, you know, we've had several conversations about like, how do you really change and what does that really look like? And, right. and I'm just wondering, like, you know, if you do this and you do it for 5 years and then all of a sudden it's like, well, that didn't work. I'm not different. Mm-hmm. Like, is that because on a biological level, like there's still some of the old story? So I'm just wondering, like, is that really what change is? Is just this constantly reminding yourself until that's the new pattern?
In simple terms, yes. I think we've talked about this, I think, on another episode, where there's, to me, a concept called a full body yes. When you think it, you feel it, you believe it. It just, and I think that's where it comes down to is, if I don't, and I think if it, this is where words start to fail us, because what's the difference between a feeling and a sensation? There's something that's in the pit of your gut, that sensation of, man, I know life's good, my money's good, whatever. Why do I still feel discontented? Mm. Why am I still not completely at peace? Why am I not at rest within myself? Whatever that is, whether that's neurologic, whether that's physiologic, whether that's bioenergetic, because I think that's the difficulty too, is if we've talked about before, is if everything is ultimately energy, where's the issue here? What's actually happening on a energetic level that's occurring here beyond the cells and beyond the molecules and atoms down to the subatomic, you know, energy level? What's actually happening there? Why are we experiencing it or perceiving it the way we are? And I don't have an answer. I don't know what's changing. All I know is how I experience it. I know the way I see it is, as a child, I developed these glasses that I wear. Since we all three have glasses, we can relate to this. And now that's how I see the world. Mm-hmm. Well, if I keep wearing these glasses, I'm going to continue to see the world the same way. And it's so habitual, you're not even consciously aware you're doing it. I'll go back to my golf example. I hit a swing and it goes bad. I wasn't thinking, you know, I think I'm going to take a bad swing so I can feel this negative thought pattern, so I can have this negative emotion, so I can have this irate experience. No, it just, I had a bad swing and I had a reaction. And that goes back to this. And I even, it's funny because I knew at the moment, I'm going, you are being childish. Really what was happening is, that inner child was in control of that moment.
Hmm.
So then I just dig it apart and go, okay, why? What is it that you are trying to get at from this that it can't give you? It's kind of like, if I believe myself poor, there's no amount of money that can make me feel rich.
Right.
Or happy or content, exactly. Or whatever it is. Like I recently saw an interview with someone who was wealthy and successful and had a big business. And they were like, I just kept thinking, when I got this, I'd be happy. And when I got this, I'd be happy. And when I got this, and it was like, it just kept going and going. And, you know, they were self-aware enough to realize, that was never what I was pursuing. Like, right. It was the symptoms of what I was pursuing. Right. And I just think that that's, you know, in this conversation, I think being able to identify what it is you actually want is, or are needing, is one of the keys in this conversation. Because if you can't actually identify the root of it, then you're like, well, okay, I just need that next, you know, $1,000 increment, or the next 10,000 or 100,000. Like, I just need that next step or that new car or whatever it is. But there's something below that that's discontent, that's pursuing, trying to fill it. And so, you know, like you talked a little bit about, like, oh, I just thought I was poor and I thought I couldn't have those things. So I thought it was those things that was going to make me happy.
Right.
but what was it really? You know, I think that's the question. It's like, it's hard to answer because maybe you don't know, but in spending time with yourself, I think that's really where you're looking to go, right?
It's funny because I was riding back from the seminar in Omaha, and I was in the back seat, and I could see myself in the rearview mirror. And I just looked at myself and I thought, what do I feel? Is it positive or is it negative? And I think this, whatever your thing is at the core, whether it's I feel poor, or I feel ugly, or I feel stupid, or I don't care what it is, that's the reason we think that's justification for lack of love for self. So if I believe I'm lacking and I look in the mirror, then that's what I see. And I think that's why we don't love ourselves, because we believe that's who we are. And it's funny because as an adult, you go, that doesn't even make sense. I mean, logically, really your value is based on money or looks and who decides? So I don't know. I think that's what I realized. That's what I have said all along. And I believe our biggest problem is that we don't fully love ourselves. That's why we're not happy. That's why we're not at peace. That's why we're not enjoying life and loving others, because we don't have it full within ourselves. And I think the belief as a child is just the reason that we don't love ourselves. You know, if I just wasn't poor, then I'd be okay. That's not true.
Yeah, I think it tends to be the narrative that happens, right? So as a child, right, you believe you're not pretty enough, or you're too poor or not smart right enough, or whatever these things are. So right, it's like, here's what you get told, and you don't know better than to believe what you're told, because that's how you learn, especially right as a child, because that is like your full-time job is learning, right?
Right.
And then you experience life based on that principle, and it gets proven over and over again, right? So then it becomes right this truth that this is how it works. But then as an adult, just having the awareness or gaining the insight that that's not actually true, there's so much that has to be unwound. And so right, like, because it's not just an existential belief, it is something that's been proven to you. Like, this has been your experience, right? And so yes, it's based in experience. And when that happens, it's a deeper level of having to undo rather than a theological, a theoretical, philosophical belief, because it's been proven.
And yet it hasn't, because
right, subjectively it's been proven. Maybe I should say that.
Yes. And this is really the key, because as a child, we don't have a logical or rational based mind. Right. We have an emotional based mind. Everything is emotionally experienced. And as an adult, you develop that logical or rational based mind, and they're not in agreement with each other. Because if you can, so much of what you just talked about as far as proving or validating that belief is based on our perception. Because mm-hmm, you can go back and those and go, wait a minute, it doesn't really mean that. Like, to me, I remember as a kid praying that the team I wanted to win would win a football game. And I look back and I'm going, and I would take it if they lost, and then God, he didn't care about. No, it just means one team scored more points than another team. That's all it means. And yet I took right that information to mean something that it doesn't mean. And we do that all the time in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And if you can learn to just go, okay, to me, it really just comes back to, just because you feel something doesn't make it so. Just because I feel discontent or unhappy or whatever within, I would even almost call it my soul, that doesn't make it so. It mm-hmm just means I feel that. And I realize I have so misinterpreted so many pieces of information.
Yeah.
And if we change, a lot of this really comes down to just changing your filter. Because life just is what life is in a way. It's, I think it, we assign meaning to it. We either say this is good or this is bad. And I think, and I'm going to kind of go back almost to an energy place that in an energy place, is it really good or bad, or is it just is? And what we do with it or how we perceive it or how we interact with it is really the issue.
Yeah, I think that's interesting.
Which this will allow you to delve into what, you know, your favorite subject.
What's my favorite subject?
Are there evil entities?
I do like talking about that.
I know.
I like pondering that. I don't know. I don't have solid belief on it, but I'm searching and I'm seeking and I'm wrestling and all the things with it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Because I think especially if I go, okay, to me, when we talk about the spiritual realm, that is energy. Okay, so what? You can go way, way deep, way, way fast. I'm like, what is it that gives energy consciousness? Because if we're going to talk about an entity, it has to have an aspect of consciousness or something along that line.
We got into this a few episodes ago, a couple weeks, I don't remember when, and talked about this theory that some, or it's a theory that evil spirits are created by our thoughts or actions. So we're okay. Giving an energy consciousness by the choices that we make. So if we have a malevolent thought or action towards another person, we are in essence energizing something to act malevolently towards that person.
Okay.
And so like when we're talking about, like, you know, it's got to have consciousness, like I think everyone who owns animals can tell that you give your animal consciousness the more you're with them, the more you interact with them, you're actually increasing their consciousness. They're becoming more like you the more time you spend with them. And so I would say, like, if that theory of demons is correct, then the more time you spend dwelling on one particular action or thought, the more energy, the more consciousness you're giving to something.
Okay.
I wonder what you think of that.
I like that concept because this kind of ties back into the whole childhood belief system too, because this carries on throughout our life. We tend to mirror what we see. And the stronger the force in your field, the more you will tend to mirror. So I'm gonna ponder that a little bit here, because I was thinking about from this perspective too, is if that holds true, then are we putting an energy out into the field, for lack of a better term, that now is being brought back to us or mirrored back to us?
I mean, in some ways, like, I was just having this conversation yesterday with somebody about, like, they're like, oh yeah, I don't, a lot of Christians say, I don't believe in karma, but they believe in the concept of sowing and reaping, which is very much so a very similar, very similar. And so I'm just thinking, like, in what you just said, like, that's a very sowing and reaping thing. Like, it's, absolutely. It isn't, it's not, I was just talking to Bree about this yesterday. There's so many things that aren't this like punishment, but is just the cause and effect of the choices we made. It's just what happened based on blah, blah, blah. And it isn't right. This God or entity judging you for that or punishing you for it. It's just what happened when you planted this type of seed.
Hmm. Well, I think it's kind of like, why would God need to judge us? We've already judged ourselves.
Sure.
And so, yeah, man, I like that concept. I like that thought process. That is, that kind of makes more sense to me, because my viewpoint at this point, because I'm with you, Kim, in that nothing is like set in stone to a degree, because mm-hmm. we're never going to have the totality of knowledge. And so I, at this point, think the baseline energy of the universe is good and we distort it. Hmm. Because I think the baseline energy of the universe is God, and God is love, and love is life and growth and thriving and all that type of stuff. And I think, because what I find, or what I believe, when it comes to our emotional states, and you've heard me talk about this, there's three basic emotional states, which I think relates to the concept of thinking or the head, feeling in the heart, and then believing or loving or acting out of the soul. And they're the flip side. They're the same energy. It's just they're either non-distorted or distorted, is my viewpoint. That we take love and we distort it into anger, that it's the same energy, it's the same frequency, and yet some it probably even comes to the idea of when you're in resonance with something or in tune with something, you are up and down like it is. There's no resistance, there's no, what's the other word, canceling out. When you're out of sync, it's like when it's up and you're down. That's what I think anger is. It's out of sync with true love. It's the same energy, it's the same pattern, it's the same wave and all that. It's just out of sync.
So it's still going on. You're just not flowing with it.
Bingo. You're actually fighting against it. Mm.
That goes back to something else Kim and I just recorded on the other day, was like the concept of like, who are you fighting against? Right. And someone had made the comment, if you're fighting against the adversary or Satan or Lucifer, right, or whatever you want to call it, and you're fighting from a godly, loving position, you'll win. But if you're constantly fighting this battle and you're constantly losing, you might be fighting against God. Like, you might be out of sync with that,
right,
that flow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Kim and I talked about this too. The biggest problem I have with the concept of Satan and external entities, then you become a victim. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't agree with that concept. I don't think we're a victim in life, because that's one of the biggest things. Like I said, with my childhood, I felt like I was a victim. I'm like, no, because if I give power to, and this maybe just a different twist is what you're saying, is I'm giving my power to an external entity, which then is coming back. I may be experiencing it coming back at me. It's really just myself. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm the one that's in control, then I can do something about it. And if it's an external entity, I'm always in this fight. And I don't think we were created to be in a fight, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we were meant to be adventurers and explorers.
Mm-hmm. This kind of reminds me of when I was in my teens, I would say. I've talked about this before, but I went through a lot of like warfare kind of stuff. Like,
right,
huge attack kind of stuff. I had to learn to fight really early. But one of the things that I figured out in that, and what I learned in that, was that if I didn't allow myself to get scared, it would go away. So in this concept of giving a consciousness to an energy you're putting out, I think this applies exactly, you know, right. Because if I just didn't allow myself to have fear overcome me, then no longer was anything coming after me.
Right. It makes sense to me because when you're, if you're not in fear, then you're in faith. And if you're in faith, you're in the flow of God. I mean, I think that's really the whole problem of all of our existence is the moment you go into fear, you cannot be healthy. It's not possible. You're out of sync. I really like that concept. Yeah.
He's grabbing that one.
I resonate with that.
When it makes it into your booklet, we just give us a shout out.
Yeah.
I think I just figured out what I'm going to call my segment.
What is it?
I resonate with that.
I like it.
I like it. I'm writing it down.
Good. Because that way, if I forget in a couple of minutes, you'll have written it down.
I mean, it's also being recorded. It will be out for everyone to hear and see.
Yeah. I kind of like that concept.
I've got a couple more questions, but I'm gonna I'm gonna save them for the bonus content that we do. So I just wanted to check, Kim or Craig, do you have any like final things that you want to leave people with for this episode?
I'll give a part of it now and give part of it later in the bonus. Yeah, you got to have motivation, people. I like to have people ask two questions. One, what are you afraid of? What are you most afraid of? And you got to keep taking that question multiple layers deep. Or you could flip it this way. What are you fighting against? I think we spend so much of our life afraid of or fighting against life. That's my final thought in the regular segment.
I like
that's
it.
That's a deep question.
It is a deep question. I was just going into some deep pondering about it, but I'll stop there for the moment.
Save it for the bonus.
I'll save it for the bonus. But Craig, thanks for being back with us.
Yep.
And listeners, thanks for tuning in again. And if you want to hear the bonus episode of this, you can do that by becoming a member on YouTube. It costs a very nominal fee and it's a monthly thing, but then you get all of our bonus content and you get to see us be a little looser with stuff that isn't actually for the entire public.
True. Craig, thank you so much for being here today. And we look forward to more conversations. As we mentioned, you're going to come back a little more often, which will be great. Yeah.
We got to keep doing this deep pondering thing so we can get all the world solved, right?
at least for our day.
Worlds.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys. See ya. Hey, thanks for listening. Keep up with us along this journey by liking, subscribing, and becoming a member through YouTube.
Members get exclusive access to bonus content with our guests, deeper dives into topics, and a look into other projects. We're glad to have you here. See you next time.